Hello, Popcorn Junkies, and welcome to... it's not nice, is it, saying our worst films of the year? It does feel a bit... It's not pleasant, is it, for anyone who's involved in a film to be told it's the worst. But the let's put it this way, then. These are our biggest disappointments at the cinema this year. Biggest disappointments. Yeah. But I am going to be quite out there when I say what my least favourite film of the year was. We'll also talk about some of the nice surprises from the year at the end, so it's not all negative. And also some of the films that just didn't make any list. And there are some curious ones there which have meant so much to some people. I'm just going to give you my rundown of worst, some of my worst films. I thought Empire of Light was horrendously boring. And Sam Mendes and Olivia Colman, and it should have worked, just didn't.
So forgettable, I forgot about it.
Beautifully put, Mum, beautifully put. It's been a disastrous year for superhero films. I mean, Marvel is on the back foot, which is why there's only going to be one Marvel film released in 2024, which is Deadpool 3. They're literally pulling everything away from cinematic release because they're having to really rethink things at Marvel. It's a bit of a mess. Aquaman's totally tanked at the box office. There's no fuel left in the old DC extended universe. So everyone is looking towards James Gunn's new Superman. So Empire of Light, just shit. But for me, Ant-Man and the Wasp, how you can take one of my favourite Marvel kind of franchises, if you like, or kind of, you know, imprints, and just destroy it. I mean, it was ghastly. We've had enough of these multiverses. It's just weak script writing. That's what the multiverse gives you. I then had The Marvels, which I just thought...
Oh, yeah, I didn't even get to see that. I so don't know them or understand them that it wouldn't have worked anyway.
No, so really, really, so not surprisingly, I mean, just bad. It just felt, it was just bad. And then Meg 2, The Trench, wasn't so bad it was good.
No.
It's just so bad. And then for me, the film that sticks in my craw the most this year, and I couldn't be in a more sort of opposite position to you, Mum, is Tar. I had such an overtly averse reaction to this film.
See, I would argue that you had that extreme reaction to her rather than the film.
But she is the film. No, it was her in that role, but also the film was in its tone and in its just execution and its pacing. There was a self-importance and a sort of assumed arrogance, and just an arrogance. I don't know, I just found the whole thing.
Entitled and everything.
And I rarely use the word pretentious, but I thought it was really pretentious, really pretentious and self-indulgent. I just found it self... I felt it was an actor's... So self-indulgent.
Yeah.
So those were my worst films, not my disappointments. What have you got on your sort of list?
Well, to use two of the words that you've just used for that last one, which was...
pretentious?
What did you say? Say again.
Pretentious and self-indulgent?
Pretentious, which I hate using as a... And self-indulgent. Saltburn.
Wow.
Yeah, and there was so much there. I mean, the disappointment was huge because I went in, her first film was good. Mm. I went in sort of, there was everything in it that I thought I would like. Mm. And there were even at the end of it, when I was so, my first thought was how disappointed I was when I came out. But there were things to like in it. It looked gorgeous. It was sumptuous. The performances were all good. The writing I thought was terrible. It was too, and I don't usually go off on one about this, but it was so derivative of two films in particular and a couple of books that I thought it just does not, it's not even fair call it an original work of art.
Oh, wow. Well, funnily enough, I mean, just because you're talking about it, Saltburn was on my omissions. I didn't feel it was the worst. What I liked about it, I really liked. I think I said it was a kind of film of two halves for me. I couldn't get past the real kind of narrative bump in the middle. It's interesting talking to lots and lots of young people. And I was speaking to a load this morning who had been to a New Year's party. I think the reason that film is capturing, is a bit zeitgeisty, is that it's about that very moment that so many of the most sort of, if you like, vociferous sort of filmgoers are at, which is the moment you go to college and can sort of become something new, and you experience new worlds, and you encounter a new sort of new horizons, and you can access different classes of life. So I think it's quite a sort of rites of passage film for people who are going through that rites of passage now. And I think that's why it's captured their imaginations. When I liked it, I absolutely loved it, but it didn't have enough about it to clamber onto my best films. And nor my nice surprises. But it was equally, it wasn't such a disappointment. It was just an omission.
It was, as well as the things that I've said that I hated it for, it had huge self-regard, I felt.
right. So, yeah, I can see how you think.
I use the word pretentious and I hate using it, but clearly the director thought she was onto a good thing.
Well, you see, I agree. I think it had, whereas of the two, Tar and that, for self-regard, I'd rather have self-regard with a few cracking one-liners that made me laugh than self-regard with agonisingly long self-indulgent talking heads in the shadows where you can't fucking see her.
And also, there's absolutely no humour in
Tar. No humour in Tar whatsoever.
Which is unusual for me. Okay. Yeah. Thank God I've got rid of Saltburn that way. I can't call this a disappointment because I didn't expect anything from it. But Beau is Afraid.
Oh, yeah. That's in there. That's for me. Big disappointment. Yeah. Big disappointment.
Oh, here I have the biggest disappointments and the biggest, worst, awful thing I've started to think. It's Maestro.
It's a huge disappointment.
Wasn't it?
It's a huge disappointment.
Isn't it? Mm. Yeah. And really. I mean, believe you me, I mean, I so love Bradley Cooper. And I so wanted to love it. And there's so much to love in it, I suppose. But I didn't love anything.
No.
I left the cinema as unmoved as when I went in.
That's funny you should
say
that.
Which is very unusual. The Whale. Didn't like it.
I agree. Massively disappointed. What was your other one?
Babylon.
Oh, right. Yeah, Babylon's a curious one for me. I didn't like it. It didn't win me over, but there were moments in it that were so good. I want the girls to see them. Principally, I'm thinking of that wonderful scene where she's trying to get onto set and it's getting hotter and hotter. And I mean, I think the shit.
Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, Tobey Maguire was good. But I think there was enough about the filmmaking process in that to keep me kind of engaged. So, yeah, that wasn't a disappointment. It was an omission. That's an omission, Babylon, for me. But I'm with you on The Whale. I think a really missed opportunity. Yes, his performance was quite something. But I do worry it's going to be one of those performances that even when we go back to it, we're all going to go, what the hell were we in? What were we enamoured with here? Interestingly, one of our girls started to watch it. And the very thing I said was a huge problem with that opening scene of him masturbating furiously, which for me, in a sense, summarises, I think, the director's really odd attitude to his obese subject, which was non-sympathetic. Yeah. All it served to do for them was they turned it off because they found it so hideous to watch.
Really?
And they couldn't get past it. And I knew that would be the case. That was a fuck you moment from the director to all viewers. And I
who's
think
the director again?
Darren Aronofsky. And I think there are moments to do, you know, fuck you moments are important, but not at the very beginning when you're having to get over all sorts of hurdles to identify with someone that's very unidentifiable insofar as, you know, the level of their obesity, their lifestyle, their look, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You don't want to immediately throw up a hurdle that's almost insurpassable.
Insurmountable. No, I agree. It was one of the worst, but it's also a big disappointment because I did expect quite a lot from
that.
I've got one more, and this just fits into the horror thing, and it was absolutely awful. Was The Exorcist, the new Exorcist.
I kind of sensed it would be, and I kind of, that was one of those ones where you said how bad it was, so I thought I won't give it the time.
Yeah, and the original Exorcist, and obviously there have been hundreds since then, I absolutely loved, it scared me to death. It was one of my first horror films, and I've got great affection for it. But this was a horror film made by somebody who knew the original, and then deliberately made an awful film, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. I would only add to, in terms of disappointments, I would add to that the films by many of the white male directors. I'd say Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Indiana Jones and the Temple and the Dial of Destiny. That's not, you know, none of, parking Indiana Jones to the side for a minute, let's look at those three absolute titans in terms of directors and subject matters. Lots of moments, you know, you can't fail to wonder at the Napoleon Austerlitz battle scene. Astonishing. Killers of the Flower Moon, some absolutely sensational montages and moments in there. Leo is incredibly good.
And in
Oppenheimer too, you know, a sensational performance by Cillian Murphy and also interestingly by Robert Downey Jr. too. But they were bloated. They were boring. They were boring predominantly with moments that kept you in. I think of the three, perhaps Killers of the Flower Moon had the slight edge on the other two. But Oppenheimer, I found really quite quite dull. I found it very dull, which isn't to say it didn't look beautiful at times, but it was just dull. And Napoleon, I just found it was a very oddly directed performance by Joaquin Phoenix and Vanessa Kirby. I didn't believe it, I didn't buy into it. And so you're left to just look at spectacle, and you can only get so much from spectacle, can't you? So they were huge disappointments for me, because they were
okay. They
were the jewels in the crown of the cinematic year, really.
I know, I haven't even got Napoleon down. No. For me, it was one of the films that I sort of missed.
And in terms of omissions, just finally for me, Past Lives, as I said, wasn't bad enough for me to say it was bad. It just didn't speak to me, and I don't think it's fair to put it in any list if it just didn't do anything for me. Saltburn, there was too much of it I didn't get on with to merit it going anywhere. Asteroid City, probably. Possibly my favourite Wes Anderson in recent years, but he always leaves me emotionally unengaged.
My least favourite, that's why it doesn't appear
anywhere. Oh, it's your least favourite. I think it's possibly one of my most favourites, only because of the whole this sort of, you know, American landscape-y kind of thing. The look, I love the look of it. I really like the look of it.
Yeah.
And omission, and there's a reason for this. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, the last 15 minutes of that film is by far the best bit in it. And I think the frustration with this film is not that it was bad, but that it just was... It's left us knowing that the next film is going to be the most interesting. So Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was really exciting, new novel and everything. This was for me, it was a retreading of the same stuff, same style, same technique, more characters, quite cumbersome, multiverse, all this sort of stuff. I find it not confusing, I just find it tiresome. But then in the last 15 to 20 minutes, as I kept shouting across the room over Christmas, watch the last 15, 20 minutes, this is well worth it. It really, you got a sense of what it will become in the next film. So that's why that's not in there. We've done the dark side. Let's go to the bright side. So what were your nice surprises that perhaps didn't make any of your top 10, but were nice surprises?
Well, The Creator was a nice surprise for me.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I really like the actor. I love the story. And I mean, there's something about this that kept it lighter than normal. I like the small girl, the AI.
Oh, person. I didn't.
No. You didn't, did
No,
did
she was one of the weak parts of it for me.
But I thought for a superhero, if it is a superhero, if it's an AI film.
It's a sci-fi.
I mean, I really, really liked it. It was a surprise.
I thought it had an indie sensibility. Well, on my surprise list, I've mentioned Barbie. I thought it was a really, really pleasant surprise. I could watch. I'm looking forward to watching it again with Ryan Gosling one day. A big surprise for me was The Flash. I mean, you know, Ezra Miller, bad news, but it's a real shame that because of the Ezra Miller story and the absolute sort of death drive of DC Cinematic Universe, that The Flash got lost, because it was actually a really well-made and entertaining superhero film that didn't require you to have done all your homework about 1,000,001,000 different programs or films. I thought it was great. I thought it was very entertaining. I thought he was great.
Yeah, I saw it. And I mean, I'm not as into superhero films as you guys, but I liked it. Mm. I thought it was good. Mm. I mean, on a level, not enough to go into any list, but no. I liked it.
So that was a nice surprise.
Another surprise for me was a film called Godland.
Oh, yes, Godland. Yeah, no, absolutely. I failed to pop that anyway. It was good. It was slow. And a lot of people would describe it as boring if they watched it. But it was incredibly... Yeah. It was a meditative film, wasn't it?
It was, and I liked his previous film, which was a white something or other.
Oh, yeah.
It stayed with me. I think he's a director to watch. He's Icelandic, I think. Mm. Oh, a film that really surprised me, but I thoroughly enjoyed, is a film called The Blackening.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Was it good?
Which is a sort of, it's a horror, but it's about a group of black kids, Afro-Caribbean, who go to the woods, you know, for a holiday, and then it's what happens to them, and there's loads of in jokes about we can't all die first.
I heard good things about
it's well written, it's well acted, and I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Well, my final couple of surprises were The Great Escaper. I'm not often drawn to films like this. I thought, you know, the Michael Caine film, I think if you like a British film with a really sensational performance by both him and is it Glenda Jackson? It's just a really nice, it's a bit bumpy getting into it, a bit lumpy getting into it. It's very British, it's very uncinematic, but it's a lovely story. And I have to say, I thought Michael Caine was absolutely sensational. I'd really like to see him nominated for a BAFTA for that. I think he was really nuanced, which he often isn't nuanced. I mean, I don't know whether that's because he's literally old, but he was very nuanced. And I thought that was that was fabulous. And the couple of other films that I thought just need a nice little mention were Guardians of the Galaxy 3, thank God, in the sort of morass of superhero Armageddon as they all go down the Swanee. Guardians of the Galaxy, not as great as the others or as inventive, but it was a very solid, you know, end to that particular franchise. And again, in the capable hands of James Gunn, and just showing that you can go silly with superhero stuff. And it doesn't need to necessarily dilute the believability of the fiction or the universe, in a sense. You can go silly and still be quite sort of observant of the law and the rules and everything. So I like that. And Cocaine Bear, if you fancy a great laugh. I thought Cocaine Bear was fun. This could unravel like a jersey. We could end up sitting here just naming every other film we've seen. But one final shout out, because it's an indie British film as well, is Rye Lane. I thought that was it had a visual language and a sort of energy to it that I thought was really refreshing to see. So two British movies there. If you're committed to British cinema, I think Rye Lane and The Great Escaper, you wouldn't do wrong to watch both of those. I think they were very, very entertaining films.
Yeah, I agree. That's my lot.
That's our lot. Well, look, guys, tell us what you think. Do you agree with us? What have we omitted that wasn't even in our omissions list? I think the biggest headline for me this year is the huge disappointment. And are we looking at the end of the era of directors such as Scorsese and Ridley Scott? You know, they're all very old now. And maybe it's telling that we need younger blood in there, you know, kind of younger blood telling more interesting stories. But one of those isn't, for me, Tar was just the most aggravating film of the year. Anyway, well, there you go. Tell us your thoughts below. Tell us if you agree. And if you haven't checked out our top 5 and our top 10, go and check those out too.